think part of it is accepting that it's so much beauty in being Black. And that's the thing that I guess I get emotional about, because I've always known that. I've always been proud to be Black. Never wanted to be nothing else. Loved everything about it. Just, it's such beauty in Black people. And it really saddens me when we're not allowed to express that pride in being Black. And that if you do, then it's considered anti-white. No, you just pro-Black, and that's okay. The two don't go together. Because you celebrate Black culture does not mean that you don't like white culture or that you're putting it down. It's just taking pride in it. But what's irritating is when somebody says, you know, they're racist. That's reverse racism. Or they have a Black History Month, but we don't have a White History Month. Well, all we've ever been taught is white history. So why are you mad at that? Why does that make you angry? That is to suppress me and to make me not be proud.
This is Recorded Podcast, another day, another podcast. We have a young legend, a young king. He was on the early episodes with horrible quality, but he still made it in. He's still a young king. The numbers was going crazy on that, man. Shout out to all his people that supported the podcast. Please, once again, introduce yourself.
Man, what's up, man? It's Duke, man. We back for a third time, man. Only talking about repeats for the three-peat, you feel me?
Let's go, man. Speaking of that, man, I live in Atlanta, Georgia, where no one is social distancing right now. How is it around where you stay?
Man, it's clearing back up. I mean, they got like the malls and stuff opening back up, but it's still like little protocols and stuff like that. But I mean, you know, it's like you can only social distance for so long. Yeah. So it's kind of crazy, man.
Yeah, and I really feel like at this point, I think people are drawing their own conclusions. I really feel like, obviously, it's real. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Like, oh, no, it's fake and all that. But I do feel like they knew they didn't have the right equipment and the hospitals were not ready for it. So they probably was like, hey, everybody stay in the house or you're going to die. Like, I think that's what they told everybody. And, I mean, I think it was smart to say, like, hey, you know, you can kill your elderly. You can kill somebody that already has a condition. I think stuff like that, but I think, like, they knew, like, hey, we're not really ready for this, so, like, yeah, let's tell them something, like, hey, and I mean, I'm like, if I'm around nephews or this or that, I'm like, yeah, man, you don't want to be doing that. You go to jail, and somebody might rape your booty or some shit like that. You got to tell them some wild shit. That could be true, but also, like, you put extra on just so they don't try to do it, man, so...
Right.
Like, I really feel like they kind of, you know, went like that. So, enough of the corona talk. I'm pretty sure everybody hears about that every day. The Last Dance, man, you said the three-peat. Michael Jordan did it twice, man. Like,
twice, man.
What do you think? Like, I don't know. I love documentaries, and I think it was a really good documentary. I want to call it the greatest, but I don't want to be, like, jumping the gun too early. Like, yo, it's the greatest podcast. I mean... documentary ever, but it damn sure, like, it's Michael Jordan, bro. Like, you can't really, and he doesn't talk, so you can't really put much up against it. What do you think about it?
Nah, it's definitely going in the books, man. But what I like about it is it shows, like, my generation and the ones that came after me, it actually shows how good Michael Jordan was. Because we only see the highlights and, like, the shots and stuff, but we don't really see, like, what he went through to get to it and all that. Like, we hear about it, but to actually see it and actually hear him talk about it, it definitely gave me a different perspective. But at the end of the day, LeBron still goes. You feel me? I still with LeBron, man.
Rock with LeBron, man. I can't wait till that 20 years from now we get that LeBron documentary, man. But it's just, like, definitely with Jordan, I mean, it was harder, like, fouls and stuff like that. But I don't believe the whole, like... I think LeBron is a winner, and I think he would go in the gym just like they showed Michael Jordan going in the gym when he couldn't beat the Pistons, and getting right. Like, whatever LeBron had to figure out, I think he would figure out if he played back then. The championships and stuff like that, I mean, we never know because it's different eras or whatever. But, like, LeBron is still definitely, like, it don't matter if he lost every single one. To get to the finals, all them games, that's playing, like, 100 games each year and all that stuff. So, like, and even though he only has three, I think, I mean, especially the one with the Cavaliers is the biggest one ever. Down 3-1. Cavaliers never had a championship. I mean, come on. Like, I mean, you can't really say nothing. But him going, like, what, 8 years straight to the finals is crazy.
Up until last year, he was in the finals ever since I was in middle school. Now it's my fourth year in college.
Come on now. That's putting in perspective, and gentlemen, whether you're old or young listening to the podcast. That's just kind of just crazy, man. But one of the things that was refreshing for me, I mean, I know you have a great relationship with your dad, and you fortunate to be a young black man with your dad in your life, your whole life, and him being a good dad and supportive and being there. It was definitely, man, it was sad, it was touching, but it was refreshing to see a black dad with, you know, his son, you know. And I know you were sitting with your dad watching some stuff too. I don't know if y'all was watching that or not. But how did that make you feel, or how do you relate to that? Having your dad and being a black man, having your dad in your life and being there and encouraging, and y'all talking, y'all are friends and cool. Like, what did you think of that relationship?
Man, I'm just blessed, man, because you feel me? Especially, like, black people, some people don't be growing up without their dad. So I'm just blessed, man, just to have him and have him around healthy and still here and just to give me the game and all that. So it was definitely like that, like, especially like when it was talking about his dad, it showed like how grateful I was. I was definitely more grateful. Not to say I wasn't grateful, but definitely more. You start to appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. And then I think what people don't realize, like, everybody seen that clip of him crying on the floor after he won that championship, but nobody heard the audio before. And when you heard the audio of that grown man weeping, you like, wow, man, like, that shit hurts. Like, it's like, my dad is always right there, and then he wasn't. And it was like, he was really, really hurt. And throughout this whole thing, man, like, Michael Jordan was very emotional, man, throughout the whole documentary, man. I was like, dang. And I think it hurt his feelings because he just knows greatness and wanting to be great. So when he talked about, and he got emotional when he was like, I wouldn't tell nobody to do what I wouldn't do. And I put myself on the line and I pushed them because I cared about them. And if you don't like it, that's your problem. You could tell it hurt his feelings because he just really wanted to be great. And he just can't understand other people getting paid millions of dollars to play a game, not wanting to be great, man.
But at the same time, though, you gotta, he has to be able to sit back and think, like, not everybody's like him. Not everybody has that desire. You got some people want to get up to work and just work 9 to 5 and go back home. Some people want to be the boss. You get what I'm saying? Not everybody could be like that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because that was the next question. Like, the price of greatness, the price of winning, sometimes it ain't pretty, man. And it showed that this man, 50-something, almost 60 years old, and his feelings are really, really hurt that people don't really like him like that. They said his best friend was a guy who picked him up from the airport that wasn't even supposed to pick him up. That ended up being his best friend. That's sad, bro. Like, all these teammates you had, you were on the road with them, you here, there, everywhere, and this guy is your best friend, and all these players talking down at him. It didn't make Scottie Pippen look good. Like, people like, oh, man, Scottie looked good, and he said, no Jordan, when I was, man, fuck the dog. They show every lowlight that I did not know about of Scottie Pippen, dog. Like, I didn't hear that. I didn't know he didn't want to come in a game. Like, in sports, I ain't never heard that, except for, like, Jay Cutler. I remember some years ago didn't want to go in the game because he think he tore his ACL. And he didn't want to go in the game. That's the only time I can hear, like, remember somebody, like, quitting. But I'm like, bro, How do you not see that they kind of painted Scottie Pippen like shit? It's documentary, bro.
Yeah, I low key lost respect for him. After when I seen that, I was like, man, you out there quitting on your team, and you'll never. That's one thing I was taught from the beginning. You'll never quit. You play until the clock hits 0-0-0.
Yeah, and it's crazy too. Not to cut you off, but it just was like, yo, like. He was frustrated with his contract, but at the end of the day, you signed that contract.
You signed it. You signed it. You can't complain about it. You signed it.
Yo, come on,
son. Can't complain about it. You signed it. You knew what you were signing up for, so you got to deal with it now.
Yeah, it was just like the difference between him and Jordan, too. Jordan was, like we said earlier, obsessed with the game to the point to where, like, when they was talking about it's a 1 in 10% chance or whatever – that he could break his foot and never play again. So he's like, I got 9 other chances, and he wanted to play with no money, and he probably wasn't making no money, but he was willing to do that. But everybody else is not willing to do that, bro. Like, so that just also is the difference. But, like, I don't understand people saying, like, oh, I don't understand why Scottie didn't betray him bad. Yes, it did. It literally showed. Yet. Every time he messed up, like, bro, come on, son. The only good thing it showed was him dunking on the Knicks, and I'm a Knicks fan, so I ain't like that shit. I was like, yeah. I'm like, yo, man, like, y'all, I don't know how y'all don't know that Scottie was pissed. Like, I wouldn't like that take either, man.
Yeah, they did him foul, and then they was talking like that. Like some, you know how like they had like Charles Oakley, some like the other people on there. Yeah. And then they was like, they edited out a lot of stuff that they were saying, like defending themselves, and they edited out a lot of stuff, like kind of like paint the picture, like paint the narrative.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I was like, yeah, that was kind of messed up too, because if you gonna do that, you gotta paint. If you gonna be asking questions and stuff, you gotta paint the whole story. You feel me? You can't just pick and choose. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it just showed him like. I overcame all this stuff. Like, I mean, and it went a little bit into the gambling, and I didn't know he had to go to court and all of that stuff. And they kind of talked about, like, the conspiracy theories, like, did he really get suspended or not? And, I mean, the way they painted it, if he didn't get suspended, I mean, seems real. Like, yo, I am stuck to hotel rooms and cars, and that's it. And my dad just died. I don't want to play no more. So, I mean, that seems real. But on the flip side of that, you seen how competitive this dude was. So you mean to tell me the most competitive person that anybody has ever seen is going to quit and suck at baseball for almost 2 years? That's hard to believe, dog.
But look, though, you got to think about it. He's probably thinking like, oh, yeah, I conquered the NBA. I won 3 times in a row. I conquered the NBA. Let me try to conquer something else. You get what I'm saying? That could have been his competitive advantage right there. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's just like, why would you not want to win more titles than Russell? Because I think Russell got like 11. Then I would feel like I conquered. I don't think I would feel like I conquered it after 3. I would like really, really dominate.
But maybe he wanted like a new challenge. You get what I'm saying? Maybe he thought basketball was too easy.
That's what he said. Yeah, that's what they said. So it's a believable argument. They did a lot. I mean, and he had the last say-so in this documentary. So obviously they filmed it to where he was going to like it, man. One thing too, when he was talking about, you know, one thing that I respect from somebody like is that if you're not an activist or whatever or something like that, don't act like you are. And that's what he did when he was saying, like, Republicans buy sneakers too. They say, I was like, oh my God. They say Michael Jordan, like, pays for a lot of stuff under the table, different causes and stuff. But if he really don't get in the middle of that, I respect that you do that versus somebody that, like, will be like, oh man, I care about this, care about that, and you really don't. So I respect that. I don't like it. Personally, I would wish that he would use his voice to really help others like LeBron does and stuff like that. But I could respect that, like, somebody that's true to themselves. Like, if I'm really not about that, I'm not about to. It's basically not being, like, a follower. Like, I'm not about to. You're not going to push me. Because with that situation, they said he did donate and help money towards the candidate that was running. but he just was like, I don't want to get in the middle of it. But it sound, I don't know too much about it, but it sounded really bad because that dude was really racist and like said segregation in schools should have been still going on and like crazy shit. So it made Jordan look bad, but I respect the fact that like, if you don't really know something about something or you don't want to get in the middle of it, you just be like, nah, I'm good.
Just stay out of it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's based like Jay Electronica. He got something from the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, man. He said, all you scared to death Negroes, sit down. So if you don't want to get in the middle of the fight, move out the way. That's it, man. So yeah, man, The Last Dance was definitely good. It's probably going to go down. It's one of the best documentaries, man.
Like, now, did you watch the Bird and Magic one?
Oh, yeah. I watched that a while ago. Yeah, I love now, documentaries, man. I watch almost all of 30 for 30. I got to watch the Rodman one, though.
Now, who do you think? Do you think The Last Dance or the Bird and Magic one was better?
I mean, The Last Dance because it's 20 years and you didn't see this footage and all. Like, it just has so much mystique about it that it's hard to say that it wasn't. But, like, it's so many. The Fab Five, 30 for... It's so many 30 for 30. Even, like, the Benji one, the young player from Chicago, like, they do a really good job. Shout out to Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons sold his podcast. I was telling you about Joe Rogan got 100 million. Shout out to all podcasts. This is recorded. But also, Bill Simmons got 200 million. 200 from Spotify. Spotify dropping that bag for real. So start a podcast and see what happens. Man, and support this one, man. I wanted to talk to you, man. I just was like, dang, like for me, like I love hardcore lyrics. I love gangster films. I love hustling, all that stuff like that. I like listening to it, watching it, all that. But I always knew my whole life that's not for me. And I feel like you probably could relate to that as well. But I just, you know, I'm like, damn, why do we love these hardcore lyrics and stuff like that? Even though it's not for us. Like, I wonder, like, why, like, we love that. Do you have any ideas on why?
I don't, that's a good question, QPG. I don't know. Maybe it's the culture. You get what I'm saying? It's us. You get what I'm saying? Like, Nobody else can do what we do and get away with it. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like it's just, I don't know. It just feels like rebellious. It feels like somebody's doing something that you don't do and you really fuck with that. Like, yo, man, this is crazy. They talk about, I seen the dude shot him, blah, blah, blah. And it just sound, the beat sounds so good with it, all of that. And we love it, but we hate to see, like, our brothers and sisters dying, but the music and the videos and all of that. And like a conscious rapper has a way, like, his money is nowhere near most of the time, besides the Kendricks and J. Cole's. Most at the average conscious rapper is not gonna see the type of money that King Von or your favorite hardcore rapper, Lil Baby's, all of them is going to see. Even though Lil Baby, man, he's a really good rapper, and he tells stories and stuff. Like he's a really good rapper, bro. Like, for real. But I just be thinking about that. I'm like, damn, like, we really, really love this shit. But it's like, we know it's not for us. But, like, we love it. Like, we love everything about it. And I was just like, dang, let me ask him, what does he feel about it?
Oh yeah, that's a good question, man. It's something you really can't even explain. You get what I'm saying? It's kind of like how I think about it. You know how like all like the ball players are gonna be rappers, and all the rappers are gonna be ball players.
Yeah,
that's how I kind of look at it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just like yo, that movie, man, is my favorite movie, Paid in Full, and all these gangster movies, Menace to Society, or the different stuff. Like, man, I love right now, I don't know if you heard of him, King Von, but he got a song called Broke Ops. Pull up and get him. That bullet ripped through his tissue, went two out his gristle. It was a nickel, and it's a Glock, and that bitch sound like a missile. He know I'm official. Do not let Wolf in this shit, boy, you know I'ma get you. And when nobody with him, I wear a 9 in the shoes, and can't nobody fit him. I pop the perky at 30, I'm hiding the bitch, boy, ain't nobody perfect. If I take a L, I'm back on that corner, I'm hustling, ain't nobody. Like, it goes so hard. I'm like, damn, this shit's so hard. But it's like, yo, like, he's really beefing with dudes, like, a couple streets over from him, and they really be killing each other. So it's like, damn, like, it's like you don't want them to do that, but we love that music. Like, hardcore hard. Like, I love it. Have you heard of him before, King Von?
Yeah, what do you say? We not from 63rd.
Yeah, and it sounds so fucking hard. Like, dissing niggas sound hard. Like, when you see Nipsey throwing up 60s, it look hard. Everybody got on blue rags. Everybody got on red rags. Everybody got guns. Everybody smoking weed, pouring up. Like, it seems so lit, but it's like, we know that ain't really a sustainable type of lifestyle. Like, you can't really keep that up forever, and you don't want to keep that up forever because you don't want to be dead. You don't want to be in jail, but we love this shit. And it's like, Jay-Z's and all them, they could talk about this shit years later. Obviously, they not doing that shit no more, but they still talk about it. But we love it, but it's just like, damn, we don't love what comes with it, but we love the music, man. It's just like crazy. And I don't think it's going to change really, because like, it's like, I mean, this is what we know. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Unfortunately, like, this is the gang showed you love when nobody showed you love. Like, with me and the podcast and stuff like that, I always want to try to do thought provoking stuff and always see both sides on most issues. And what it is, it's like, yo, man, King Von, won't you rap about something different? But it's like, bro, like, this is what I know. This is what we going through. Like, they probably killed some of my cousins and this and that and family, so fuck them. And I'm going to say fuck them forever. Just like this with 50 Cent and Ja Rule. Like, 50 Cent feels like Ja Rule tried to get him killed. He's never going to like him, like, ever. Yo, they like, yo, 50 got to chill. And, like, that's the difference between 50 and everybody else. Is like, he got shot 9 times for real. He ain't never going to lay down. When people play with him, you can't play with him. It's different. Yeah. Like, he's on a different level of, like, yo. Like, you know, but it's just hard because everybody forever and ever and ever is like, yo, I wish they would rap about something else and stuff. It's like, bro, this is what we know. And, like, this is lifestyle. And I think we love it because it's real. People love the one that we shall not be named that was released from prison. They loved it when it seemed like, yo, this nigga's so fucking crazy, bro. Like, he's crazy. He's doing all this shit. But, like, then when you realize he ain't really doing that, it's like, oh, he's corny. Like,
he's, but I mean, we been known he wasn't doing none of that. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yo, I swear I got a podcast with my nephew and my brother-in-law, and I told him the whole scenario. I said, look, he was approached by Trippy Red, and shit got real, and he ain't about that life. And them dudes seen the opportunity to give him, like, to make their money legit and do something different. So he start really pressing the hood and really doing things, and it's just like, it ain't real, bro. And he knows he's smart. Like, don't get it fucked up. He's very smart. He knows what he's doing, but it's just like, he's fucking up our culture. He ain't even black neither, so it's like, he's fucking up our culture and getting people against each other and going to jail off of some playing around shit. And then shit gets serious, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's...
But the whole industry, none of them is doing it. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most of them rappers are not doing what they say they do. Nah.
So it's like, I don't know. I just be like, man... When you find the real one, like Nipsey and stuff, those are the ones you gotta hold on to.
And that's the thing about Nipsey that was so genius, is that he said, I'm a very smart dude and I know it, but I'm also in the streets for real and I know it. How do I make them both work? So what he did, really gave the drug shit alone, like most rapper stories. They say, oh, well, I really gave the drug thing alone. I really was broke and I just really focused on my music. So he did that. And he also knew different ways of getting money. And he also preached getting your own money. He also preached a marathon to life. He preached all these things, man. And it's just like, you know, there's no quick way to success. And he knew that it is a quick way to death, though, is what he did know. He was like, yo, you can't really be doing this lifestyle forever. He had an interview, or he said in his songs, he was like, this expired on me. This is not going, like, this is not a sustainable lifestyle in the streets. So he did something different, man. And, like, his method and his, like, the community to never leave his community and all of that, it was just like, bro, it was something we never seen and we probably never will see again, man. Like, it was
never
just,
will, man.
Yeah, it was just, like, he really was from the hood, but he also was teaching people how to get to the hood. Like, he had a great tweet that went out. He said, I taught all my people how to fish. Some learned well, some didn't, some gave up, some surpassed me. But can nobody say I ain't never give out that game? And that's what I feel like we all need to do, man. We all need to give out that game, man, and really, like, go hard and help each other, man. Help your brother. Like, if you see him doing something, man, like what I see in you, and also congratulating people when you see it. Don't hate or don't hold it back. Like, when I see you, man, I'm like, yo, this is a smart dude. He's going to go on to do something great. He really is. I just want to be, like, along the way. I don't want nothing from him. When you was playing football, I'm like, man, this dude could go off and play football. And I don't want tickets. I'll pay for the game. I just really want to congratulate him, you know, and really support. And I think that's important. I think that's what we all need is that support.
For sure. And I appreciate it, man, because you feel me? You've been around for a while, man. So I really do appreciate it, and I try to support you back. You feel me? Whatever way I can, you feel me?
Yeah, it's just like, man, just
throw back the love.
That's what we need, man. We need more of that, man. So, speaking of support, man, you got anybody out there? I know you well connected. I know you got some people that do music, they do clothing, anything, man. Can you plug it? Can you say it right now? Let's get them some help, man.
Man, we got the label We Enlighten, man. Plug them. And just my whole city, San Diego. We got Marcus with his clothing brand. We got the whole city, man. San Diego, man. That's where I'm from.
What's the name of the clothing brand, and where can they get that at?
XXSobu, XXSobu.com. And then we also got Almas. And that's I'm actually working on the website right now, www.almasplayground.com. And you can find his Instagram at ALMAZ. And yeah, man, we just out here, man.
Yeah, yeah, I gotta definitely write that in the bio, man, and everything. But the music, where could I catch the music at?
It's We Enlighten, WENLYTEN. It's the label, man. We got a whole bunch of people that come out of San Diego, man. They're nice, I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, man, it's just like, we need that. We need to change things, man. We need that support. We need that black support. And the thing is, what it's sad because, like, Killer Mike, I don't know if you watched Killer Mike show on Netflix when he had it. He did a breakdown of, like, how long a dollar could last in a white community, in the Asian community. Certain communities, it could be 20 days. Certain communities, it was, like, 14 days. When it came to black people, 6 hours. It was like 6 or 8 hours, bro. It was crazy. It was like, yo, that was crazy. Like, we don't have enough stuff. And the crazy thing that he said one time that was just like, Killer Mike is way smarter than everybody, and he just knows, is that he said that his grandfather told him that segregation is one of the worst things to happen to black people because we used to have to go to the black dentist, the black drugstore, the black barbershop is like the only thing we really have. And that's messed up because of this virus. Like, the black barbershop is like the only thing in hair salons. But he was saying that, like, it forced us to have a lot of black stuff. But as soon as that got going, like, was segregation came in, everybody wanted to go to the white stores because they never could before. And white stores just wanted our money and stuff like that. So it was like, it kind of fucked everything up. When desegregation happened? So
right.
Killer Mike is just like, just a different breed, man. I want to, man, shout out Taste the Essence, man, in Baltimore. My people's over there, man. Check them out if you in that area. Shout out my boy G Merrick. His music is going crazy right now. It's really well put together, mixtape, man, album. And everybody else, man, that's doing something. The marathon continues. I seen on the store they got Mass now, and they got Uncle Sam OG Kush if you like to do that kind of stuff, if you smoke, okay? Yeah, but, man, it's just I feel like, and even with black business and stuff, too, we got to hold ourselves accountable. It ain't got to be like, oh, man, you can't give me a little extra. Oh, you go to a black restaurant, you waiting for too long, or we ain't got this, we ain't got that. We got to have our shit together. If you have a bad experience, I'm sorry about that, brother. How about next time you come, bring your family, I'm going to give you a nice discount. We running late on something on your T-shirt order. Okay, I'm sorry about that, but I threw in an extra mask that we got to help you with this coronavirus. Like, we got to do things. We got to have our business straight. We can't go off the whole, like, yo, we black, so let's do it. Like, nah. Even with me in the podcast, like, the quality has to get better. Things have to get better before you be great. And that's for everybody, man. We got to just hold ourselves and our community accountable. And, you know, we just got to, man, grow and help each other, man. Can you dig that?
Wow.
Yeah, man. It's just like, with all that's going on in the world today, man, it's just like it's so important that we have unity and really help each other, you know, because it's just a lot going on right now, man. It's a lot of the same old, you know, the killings, you know, of black people on camera and stuff like that. It's just, you know, it just happened in Georgia. And one thing is, man, I don't know. I know a lot of people do watch it, but I know for me, I'm a very emotional and sensitive person. I could cry in a minute. And I told myself, I don't remember which one it was, but I told myself I'll never watch one of those again. Because I can't mentally and emotionally put myself through that. I will have to learn from you or from others in writing or something like that. But visually and audio, like through my ears, I cannot hear or see that ever again, man. How do you feel about that stuff?
Man, it's a bad look, man. I don't really know how to feel. Like, of course, I'm mad and stuff about that because they didn't have to do that, man, like that. But I mean, it's just crazy, man.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just, and I think black people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. They sick and tired of, like, oh, well, it got to be peaceful and all that. Like, no, fuck that. Like, everybody's like, no, I'm tired of that. Like, it doesn't work. And the worst example of it all really is that. So we have these white people with guns, a lot of guns, and very aggressive, and in officers' faces with guns, and in officers' faces with big-ass guns, and in officers' faces with big assault, I can kill multiple you guns over a fucking haircut. Like, no bullshit. Like, I want a haircut. This is bullshit. You can't keep me in. You can't do this. We are protesting and yelling and screaming and looting, whether you feel like it's right or wrong, because somebody died, bro. And what we get, we recording this on Friday, so who knows what's going to happen, because this protest in Atlanta right now, in L.A., Houston, all over. We don't know what's going to happen, but it's like, bro, people are tired, man. They tired of, like, oh, well, just peacefully do it. These people showed up with guns and yelling where you can get spit on your lip during coronavirus, which is nasty. You could get spit on your lip, and they yelling at you over a fucking haircut. And we're yelling and screaming over somebody getting killed, and we the bad guys? Come on, bro. It's like, bro, like, I don't know the solutions, but I know what I want to do is, I was very against guns for a long time. Like, I was like, oh, I don't really rock with them. And I think for most black people, it's trauma that's associated with guns. It's gun violence, and you got family that was killed, and this and that. But now I feel like it's important that, hey, you need to train. First of all, like, you need to know what you're doing. If you have a gun, you need to know it's not a toy. You need to know you just don't pull it out just to be tough. And you got big balls now, well, because you have a gun. You need to know what you're doing. It's for protection. It's for protection. And it's for protection. Like, you know, it's just different. It's just different now. How do you feel about guns? Because I know, like, you live in it, you know, San Diego, I mean, they have gangs and they have different things. Like, how do you feel? Because with black people, for a lot of us, like me at your age, I was completely against it. Like, I don't want that shit around me. I don't want none of that. But as I'm older, I'm like, I don't know. It might be time.
I mean, I feel like everybody should have proper training, whether you're male, female, black. But I mean, especially black people, especially now, during these times, I feel like we should have the proper training and know what to do in situations and stuff. And so, yeah, that's how I feel about it right now.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing is that you don't need to get this and feel like Billy Bad. You don't need to be pulling it out all the time and all that. It's for protection. Protection.
Right, protect exactly. Your protection.
Home, protect your home. And when you're out, you know, road rage is a big thing. You never know. Somebody, white person cut you off, anybody cut you off, pull out a gun on you. It happens all the time. You never know. But I'm just saying it's for protection, and I just feel like it's so many things in life where we're hypocrites. And I say that we're hypocrites in the sense of hoping to be better. Because the things you believed when you were 16, you probably don't feel the same now at your age. Because, like I said, I didn't like guns at all. Like, I didn't want to have one, nothing. But now, I think a little differently because of the way the world is and the way things is going. And I want to be able to protect my home or protect my family. But it's just like things change. And, you know, and one thing I'm hoping that is going to change, too, is that, you know, black people unite, man, and we need allies. We need allies. It would help, but you know what? We want allies, but if you don't want to be on our side, we don't need you, period. We don't right. need you. If you don't want it, yet, like, nah, we don't need you. We want them, but we don't need you, and we're going to fight our own fight, and we're going to do what we do and organize and really, man, just helping, like, you know, for you, the younger people that you know and stuff like that, helping them when you know they going the wrong path, stuff like that. If you could help somebody in any way, like with a technology or anything, I think that's what really, really helps, you know, people out. It really helps like that. So, you know, like that's what we need to do the most because them changing laws, it's Friday, like I said today, you got third degree. Third degree is like the lowest besides manslaughter when you did it on accident. Yeah, no, really, that's not really jail time for real, like, at all, you know. So, it's just sad, man. It's just like, bro, y'all got to stop waiting on the justice system to do something for you, bro, because it's probably not going to
happen. Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, you know, like I said, man, let's change that idea of the black dollar don't stay, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's change that. Let's help these brands, man. Lil Duke, man, what he just said, his clothing brand and music, G Merrick, Taste of Essence, anybody you got going on with something, Cam Kirk Studios, my people over there, just anybody that's doing something positive, man, especially if they have skin that look like yours. You need to help, man.
Support. Man. Even if it's game, you feel me? Just put them on. It don't even got to be no money or nothing. Just put them on game, you feel me?
Yeah, and you know what, too? And that's the thing about, you know, I know you saying, like, put them on game, but that's the thing about gangs. People get in gangs because they feel family that they ain't never had before. They feel like, yo, like, these people is helping me. They feeding me. And I'm willing to die for them. I'm willing to go to jail. I'm willing to hustle. Like, so we could talk all day about how bad gangs is and gang members and stuff. But you also got to put yourself in their shoes. Like, we don't know what their life was like that made them go that way. You know what I'm saying? So I'll never really put down a gang member or anything because you know who was a gang member? Nipsey Hussle was a gang member, ladies and gentlemen. And we've heard a lot of great things about him. A whole lot of great things. So I don't really think I would. I'll never down somebody doing bad or doing wrong, you know, like, but, you know, it's just, you know, we have to, man, just really help each other out. And, like, man, this George Floyd and all these different cases can't keep going on, man. Like, this is rough. This is rough. I seen a good Instagram post. Is like, you know, you could wake up one day and you feel like you see somebody get murdered and then you want to do something about it. But if you do something, you go to jail. But then if you don't do nothing about it, you just get numb to it. And it's a constant... It's a constant emotional war with yourself. Like, I'm angry, then I'm sad. It's like, man, you know, it's rough, man. This is rough, but...
Rough, man. It's rough.
But for me, it's just like, man, with you and Kyrie, the youth, man, y'all are the future torches. And, like, that's what it's like. Man, reach out to your brother. I always reach out to the younger people because they great. They got great ideas, and I know they're going to do great things. So I'll reach out to you because I see greatness in you. Man, I know this. One thing I do know, and this is recorded, is like, yo, he's going to do great. I see it. It's a light on you that's special. That's crazy, and that's what I try to have people on the podcast. I see that light in, man, or, you know, just something great, man. Just great, man.
I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, man. And your dad, your whole family, man, they always been good to me. Man, San Diego's a beautiful place, man. It's just like, you know, hey, I just want the best for us, and we going to figure it out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. But, and, like, for me, the best apology is change behavior. Like, and it's just like, bro, with the police and stuff like that, until things change and you see it for real, and I mean for years, that's a real apology. And it don't seem like we getting that no time soon. What do you feel like is a good way to, like, I mean, I guess not with this situation, but, like, do you feel the same? Like, change behavior is the best apology?
For sure. Words don't mean nothing. Apologies don't mean nothing. If you're going to apologize and keep doing the same thing, then that's not no apology in my books. You feel me?
Yeah. It's just like, yo, like, I mean, that's cool. But, I mean, what does that mean?
You got to see some actions.
Yeah, like, if I cheat on my wife every week, you know, oh, man, I'm sorry. Like, say, like, that ain't no real apology, man.
It's not.
Yo, man, it's just like for us, I just want to really organize and really just like the black dollar, like really economic empowerment is like it. Like, we really need to tighten up, man. Like, we can't, like I said, we can't have shit businesses and like, oh, you don't support black business. Like, no, I don't support bullshit. It's what it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, bro. Like, yeah, we got to come correct. We got to make sure our shit is all the way together, man. Like, because it's like, yo, we got to help ourselves. Ain't nobody else going to help us. I promise you nobody else going to help us.
Nobody else.
So we got to help ourselves, man. Let's support that local business.
But you got to mention, though, too, that people, you can't expect nobody to do anything for you either, though. You get what I'm saying? Like, with the businesses and stuff, you got to go out there and get it on your own. You feel me? You can't wait or expect somebody to buy your product, or you feel me? You got to go out there and get it on your own. You feel me? And I feel like some people, they feel entitled. Oh, because I'm black, you don't support me. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just, it's just serious that, I mean, you have to really, like, get it in. And you got to understand that greatness is a process. The marathon continues. You know, the marathon means... This is a marathon. I heard about the Boston Marathon this morning. That's 26 miles. It said you need to run this 20. It's virtual this year. You can send your videos in, but you have to do it in under 6 hours. That's a long time, and that's a lot of miles. It ain't a sprint. Is a quick 40 yards. You know, everybody like the combine, 40-yard dash. That's just a quick sprint. Running for 6 hours straight is a long time. Like, it's a struggle. It's a lot of ups and downs. And everything that Nipsey Hussle stand on, you know, is just like, it's so real, and he was a messenger. Like, he was sitting here to fulfill a job. He did it, and he was gone. Like, that just was it. Like, as sad as it is, but his message is so loud and clear in his passing right now.
It's going to live on for forever.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, he said he experienced every emotion. When you start rapping, you feel the highs, you feel the lows, you feel success, you feel defeat, you have money, you don't have money, you have good sound, you don't have good sound, you have distribution, you don't have distribution. That's what he means by he feels every emotion on his roller coaster of his journey to making Victory Lap and to making a success. Like, it ain't easy, y'all. We gotta, like, grind it out. And that's why I heard somebody say, I don't really like the sports and nobody business or something, like, for real, until I see they've been really grinding with it. Because somebody, even like me, I could go do a podcast, then I'll be like, bye, nah, I ain't really feeling it. I ain't seeing no numbers. I ain't going to do it. I got to do this every week for years probably. But Joe Rogan got 100 million. He been doing this podcast for 10 to 11 years.
That's no joke.
The Joe Budden podcast has been doing his podcast for about 5 years. And he got a deal after like 4 years. Like, this is year of, like, how many of us is really ready to be broke, have nothing? You know, how many rappers have been homeless and this and that? Like, I mean, these stories, like, we see the glitz and glamour, but all of them have some really shitty stories on how they made it to the top. Jay-Z, I always talk about it. They always, his uncle was like, you'll never be LL Cool J. Everybody said he was whack. He rapped too fast. He's kind of like, he ain't got style. He ain't got this. He coming out when he 26. He's old, a rapper. Everything. He's a billionaire now. It's like, yo, like, if these people had to go through so much shit, why don't we have to go through shit to get to greatness too? It's a part of the process. The marathon continues, man.
But like you said though, a lot of people, they're not willing to put in a 4 or 5 years without seeing no returns. You get what I'm saying? Some people don't see that bigger picture. And some people they don't believe in themselves. You feel me? And that's part of it too, the mental battle, because you got to stay in the game when, like you said, like when with the Boston Marathon, it's a mental battle. Like, you running for 6 hours, I know you want to quit, I know you tired, but you got to keep going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, and it's, the problem is, the reason why it ain't more successful people is not because they special or they did anything way different. Is that they didn't give up. That's another Nipsey Hussle quote. Another Nipsey Hussle quote. Another Jay-Z. Well, I think he said he heard Jay-Z say it. He said, the genius thing we did was not give up. Everybody told us, no, we ain't rocking with you. You kind of corny, like, nah, you old. Whatever, you rap too fast, all of that. It's like, yo, how many of us is really, like, willing to not give up? I mean, be told to your face by loved ones, your wife, your mom, your dad. Like, yo, this shit is whack, bro. How many of us is prepared for that? Really? How many of us prepared for that? Like, somebody you love dearly tell you, I don't see the vision. But guess what? I wear glasses. My wife don't. Sometimes people don't see the vision. I wear glasses. Pretty much everybody I talk to don't. They don't. They can't see the path I'm going. And sometimes I can't see what they doing. But that's the number one thing. You got to be your biggest fan, man.
You got to be your biggest fan. You feel me?
Yeah. And you got to believe in what you're doing. And you got to understand that it's a process. It's not quick. And I think we live in a, like, we so spoiled now that if our Instagram don't boot up in about 3 seconds, if it going 5 seconds, we're like, damn, what's wrong with this thing? It's the world we live in. We got everything fast. If I want to watch a movie, I'm so lazy now that I don't ever want to put in a DVD. I got Roku and I got PlayStation and stuff like, I never want to put in a DVD because I'm conditioned that way now. And I think a lot of us is conditioned now that, like, everything need to happen quick. Like, I seen this dude on Instagram, and 1 year ago, he was broke. Like, no, we don't really know everything. We don't really know everything he went through to get to the millions. Like, he could have been broke, and then, but you never know. He lost family. He was homeless. Like, we don't see all of that. And, like, one thing before we get out of here that I really want to say is that I hope that everybody has got better over this time of stillness.
For sure.
In the quarantine, got better. I'm cutting my own hair now. It may not be the greatest, but I'm getting better. And I hope everybody, like, learned a skill. Like, of just you sitting around. I hope you wasn't just sitting there depressed and sulking. I mean, and it can get rough just sitting around. But it's like, I hope everybody tried to read something or do something. Just be better in some kind of way, man. Seriously, because this time is like, I also leave with this, like, Airbnb, Uber, Pinterest. These things came out of the last recession around 2008. Why can't that be you? Let that be you, man. Like, let's be great. And I hope that, like, you know, for me, this quarantine really taught me I ain't in control of shit. Like, the whole world shut down recently. We ain't in control of a damn thing. So the things that we are in control of, our health, our wealth, and our happiness, we got to make sure we have those, man. Because everything else, and, like, I want this person to act this way and be this way, and why they can't see it, we have no control over that. So control yourself, man.
And just to build off of that, the quarantine, if you didn't get better at your craft this quarantine, man, you didn't really want it. That's how I feel. If you didn't use this extra time, you didn't really want it. And so that's we can end it on that.
Man, that's real talk, because, like, the audio, like, right when I knew it was going to get bad when they was talking about locking down Georgia. Shout out to my boy G Merrick, man. I hit him up and I said, yo, like, can I borrow some of that equipment that you ain't using? I really want to make the audio better, and I want to work on some things with the podcast. And I got better, man. And I could see, like, damn, if you listen to the last podcast, Young King, the sound quality is not great at all. Like, but you can make it out. You can see the vision of where I was trying to take it, but it wasn't that good. But then it's like building on it. And if you want something, it's going to come back to you, man. And I really want this, man. I love just talking to people and uplifting people and being around positive people like yourself, man. So I was like, man, I had to have Duke back on, man. I really had to have him. And we really got to make this podcast great, man. And we just really got to uplift one another, man. Black people, we are strong. We are beautiful. We brave. Don't let nobody tell you different. And we going to make it through this, man. We really are. Duke, you got any last words for him, man? Shout out those people. Shout out some more people you might have even forgot about, man. We so
let me think. I got one of my homies, Ashanti. He got his clothing brand out, the Sleazy Side. We'll go support him. And then that's all I could really think of right now, man. Just shout out to San Diego, anybody whoever supported me, man. I really appreciate it. You finna be on top, man. Just keep going.
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, we're going to be great, man. And this is recorded.